Peace Luther Church as we gather this morning in worship. There are a few announcements that have been displayed on our message boards, and I invite you to take a look at them on a printed copy if you weren't able to catch them all this morning. But there's a couple I certainly want to inform you of and highlight this morning. The Peaceful Outreach Committee is looking to have an Easter egg hunt the Saturday, so the day before Easter. If you're able to help them out, they're looking for some volunteers to help stuff Easter eggs with candies or other goodies, and also they're looking for individuals who are willing to bake cookies. You know, and that way, if you'd like to make a lovely batch of cookies and not have them at home to eat them all, but yet to get out of the house, but you still have those favorite cookies you want, maybe this would be a good opportunity. So this morning in our prayers, we include the family and friends of Herman Wartgau, who passed away this last week, Thursday. So we do remember that family, along with the Christopher Kohlmeyer family, who had the funeral yesterday. This morning, our service is following Divine Service Setting 1 on page 151, and our opening hymn is numbered 421. Central City, we see ourselves and the truth is not in us.
What if we confess our sins? God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please speak with me responsively the introit. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her.
All you
that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast.
I was glad when they said to me,
let us go to the house of the Lord.
Our
feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Pray
for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you.
For my brothers command you say,
I will say, peace be within you. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her.
All you love her.
That you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast. The peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Lesson this morning is taken from Isaiah, the 49th chapter. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you, in a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people to establish the land, to proportion the desolate heritage, saying to the prisoners, come out, to those who are in darkness, appear. They shall feed along the ways, on all bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will make all my mountains a road, and my highway shall be raised up. Behold, these shall come from afar, and behold, those from the north and from the west, and those from the land of Syene. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read along with me the gradual. When I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Peace be within your walls, and security within your towers.
The second reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 2. Those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand as we continue with the Lenten verse. Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a loud and large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told the disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite the congregation to be seated, and the children that are present may come forward for our children's message this morning. Children, having decided that they would rather stay with their parents, bring us then to our next song, our hymn, or we have a couple that are coming up. That'll be great. Thank you. Oh, and now there's a few others coming. Look at that. Well, good morning. Good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. How are we doing this morning? Good. I'm glad that you are here today and you're able to be in worship with us. This morning, we were hearing about Jesus and how he did a miracle for the people. Did you hear the reading I just read? Yeah. Where was Jesus? Was he in town near a supermarket? Did it sound like he was by a grocery store? A bakery? No, he wasn't near any of those places. He was, it says, by a mountain. And there's a large amount of people that came to see him. And they wanted to hear him. And why were they wanting to come to Jesus? What made them interested in Jesus? Do you guys know?
No.
Well, John records as he's speaking that they came to him because they were hearing him. They saw what he could do, how he could help heal the sick, and how he preached good news to them. Have any of you been sick recently? I know my children have, and that's why they're not here. Yeah, some of you have been sick. Is it fun to be sick? No. You look pretty healthy today, though, right? Yeah, you've gotten over it, and that's good. But the people that they're bringing to Jesus, they didn't get better like you did, or like I have in the past. Some of these people, they were sick and they couldn't hear, or some of them just, their arms were unable to be used, and they had different sicknesses that the doctors weren't able to heal. But Jesus could, and that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Jesus could do what the doctors couldn't be doing. And so people wanted to come to see him. And now they've come to him and they're in the middle of, I don't even remember where they were so much, but by a mountain. It kind of doesn't sound like they're in town, does it? Yeah. And so, did you guys have breakfast this morning?
Yes.
That's a good thing to have breakfast. Otherwise, what would happen if you didn't have breakfast now? What do you think? If you didn't eat a breakfast, what would be going on right now?
Hungry.
You'd be hungry, right? Yeah. So Jesus, he knew that the people, they were with him. They weren't by their houses. They weren't near a town, but they were going to be hungry because they were listening to him and they were there all day long. And Jesus did a miracle by providing them with bread to eat. 5,000 people, and he only used 5 little loaves of bread. Is that pretty amazing?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you, If you had five loaves of bread, could we get everybody here a piece of bread? Probably not. But he fed 5,000, and they were astonished and amazed. But is that the most important thing that Jesus does for you and for me, is that he provides bread for us to eat? He does even more important things than bread. He went to the cross, where he took your sins and paid for them so that you wouldn't have to pay for your sins. And then he died, right? He died to save you and me, because I sin too. And then we're going to be able to celebrate soon that the day he rose from the dead. And he was victorious over sin and over death. And because he had his victory, he's going to share that with us, just like he was sharing the bread with the people. He's going to share his victory over sin and death with you and me, so that we can live forever with our Heavenly Father. How wonderful is that? Is it pretty wonderful, or is that just okay? What do you guys think? It's pretty wonderful, yeah. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us, who cares for us, and who's going to share with us the victory that he has over sin and death so that we can live with him. And that's why we are coming to church, right? We're coming here because we want to hear more about Jesus and the love that he has for us, but not just us, but for all people. All boys and all girls and all moms and dads and all their family members and all those that gather here in our church, but even those that don't gather together with us. Does God still love them? Yeah, and so we are so glad to be here this morning. I invite you to fold your hands and say an echo prayer with me at this time. We pray, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus.
Thank you for sending Jesus
to be the Lamb of God,
to be the Lamb of God,
who takes away the sin of the world,
who takes away the sin of the world,
and gives to us,
and gives to us, his victory
over sin and death and the devil,
over sin and death and the devil.
Please help me share this with others.
Please help me share this with others.
As we are joyful,
as we are joyful,
in Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for coming up this morning, boys and girls, and I do have some treats for you. There's a number in here, but I have more. So if you would take one, we'll continue with our congregation and sing 749.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our
Father and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's sermon, we continue in our Forgiving Challenge series. And today we are reaching the letter R, which stands, as you see on our whiteboards, for Restoration. From the acronym SCARS, we've gotten to, yes, the letter R. S speaks of sin that we all are tainted with. C talks about confession, our Heavenly Father, who desires us to go to Him in repentance, seeking that He would offer us forgiveness. A, we talked about the absolution that we receive, forgiveness, absolution, being separated from them. But today, we're going to talk about the restoration. And we can focus on this question. So what does God think about you when you've been an absolute failure? When you've missed the mark? When you've sinned? Maybe not just one of those little misses, but when it's been, well, you've missed the whole target completely. What then? Well, let's go back to our sermon series text of John chapter 21, as we see Jesus at the Sea of Galilee once again with Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana, Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples together. Well, Simon Peter has just said, I'm going fishing. And the others, they go with him. And so they're going fishing. They've been out fishing all night long. Simon Peter, he's done what you and I may often do when we've failed. Yes, he denied Jesus those three times. No, I don't even know him. I don't know the man you're talking about. Certainly, I do not know him. Before the rooster crows, those words came from his mouth. And so, he knows that he's failed Jesus, because after that rooster crowed, he went and wept miserably, we hear the gospel says. And now, he says, I'm going fishing. For 3 years, he'd been with Jesus. He'd had the front row. He'd seen the miracles that Jesus was doing. The 5 loaves and 3 fishes feeding 5,000. Raising the dead. And now, though, well, it was a nice run, but I think I'm back to fishing. That's what he's decided. Having failed, he goes back to what you and I could say is a lesser life. Peter, as Jesus had named him, is going back to be Simon the fisherman. And too many of us are like Simon, where we go back because we feel unfit or unqualified or unworthy of what God has called us into. So we turn around and go back. No longer was he going to fish for men. Rather, he just was going to fish for fish as he had in the past. He's a lifetime fisherman. And certainly fishing is not a bad profession. And yet, it's not what God had called him to. Until Jesus had grabbed him and invited him into another life. But when Peter messed up, we hear him say, well, guys, I'm going back fishing. So let's just dive into something that I feel like I'm going to be successful at. And that's what he does when he's failed. we go back to what is more comfortable, what we believe we're going to be good at, what's comfortable, and we know. And slowly it goes back to what tends to be a lesser life than God has called us. And the sad thing is that not only does Peter do it, but he has these other disciples going with him. Other disciples that Jesus had called to be fishers of men. Yeah, he's still a leader. But we hear that while fishing all night, they catch nothing. And so we hear when morning dawns that the figure on the beach calls out and says, "Do you have any fish?" "No, haven't caught anything." "Well, try the other side of the boat." Do you know that sometimes God starts the path of freedom? It seems that he complicates things. Fished all night, and did they catch anything? No, they thought that they were good at this, and that here we are out all night catching nothing. If you already felt bad about failing Jesus, how about now? You're going back to what you thought you're good at, and you find out that, nope, doesn't seem you're any good at this either. And yet that seems to be how God works, bringing a path that leads us, you might say, to destruction. But God will usually complicate things before he is able to pursue and come after you to change the course of your life. Jesus is standing on the shore. "Have you got anything?" "No." It's not exactly a, "No, I'm sure, but we're going to get something soon." No, that's not the attitude. "No, we don't have anything." But then, miraculously, as they listen to him, they throw their nets on the other side of the boat and they catch such a large amount of fish that they can hardly get them in. And then they realize that this man on the shore is Jesus. And what a change that makes. He's there on the shore. He has this charcoal fire prepared. He has bread and fish ready for them. He's cooked breakfast. He's kind. He's gentle. What a friend they have. And it's the same way Jesus treats you and me within our failures. He's kind, he's gentle, he's welcoming. There are so many of us that look at our flaws and imagine that that's all that God sees and that he's angry with us. He's judging us for them at all times. He's out to get us, to smite us. But no, there's more than that. We have a God who loves us, even though we do deserve punishment. But instead of punishment, God looks to give to you and to me restoration in our relationship. And God's forgiveness does both. If you recall, forgiveness is to either cancel a debt, one understanding, or another understanding, to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake. We talked about absolution being the canceling of our debt last week, and now we see God at work to restore, and that's part of this freedom process that truly shows that God is not angry or resentful towards us any longer. For the freedom that God gives to you is not freedom from sin, but also freedom to live with purpose, to look ahead. And we can look just a little more at Jesus and Peter's interactions on that shore. Jesus addresses him, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And And the word love in Greek is different than in English, for there's generally four different words that describe love. And one of those words of love is agape, the love which is unconditional, without bounds, the highest form of love, love that we spoke of in our psalm. So Jesus asks, do you agape me? Do you have love for me that is unconditional, without bounds? Well, Peter replies, yes, you know that I love you, but the word agape is not what he uses. Rather, he uses filio, a term that is a brotherly love, the affectionate towards one another. Peter, he realizes that he hasn't agaped Jesus. He hasn't loved him without conditions, because when it came to him and his very life, well, he remembers the denial. He can't say he fully loves Jesus, but he does say he loves him like a brother. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus asks him, Simon, son of God, do you love me? Do you agape me? And once again, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I filio you. Well, Jesus says, take care of my sheep. And a third time he asks him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you agape me? But not agape this time. Here Jesus switches and says, Simon, son of John, do you filio me? Do you love me as a brother? And well, he's hurt and says, certainly you know that I love you. You know I filio you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. You may look at this conversation and see it a couple different ways, but the way that you approach it does make a difference. Is it that Jesus is trying to shame Peter, call him out for being unable to agape him, referencing those three denials? Do you love me more than these? It's not likely, because we know how Jesus could certainly have made Peter feel worse. He doesn't say, do you love me? And then say to him, but you denied me. You know, he doesn't do that. If he wanted to, he could have certainly pointed backwards. But what direction does Jesus point with Peter? Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then what does he say? Feed my sheep. He's looking forward with him. I have something yet for you to do. You're not finished. You're not done. You still are the one that I have called. And how monumental is that in this moment? Yes, he's already saved Peter for eternity, taken away the punishment by going to the cross. He's paid the price. He's canceled the debt. But even greater, and what's more amazing, he's literally giving Peter back the life he's had in this world. Yes, you are the disciple that I have called. You are the one that is to lead and be the rock in this church. Go and feed my sheep. You see, there are times when God requires to do with you and me what you might say is spiritual surgery, to take the tough, maybe probing questions, look at our past, but yet in asking these tough questions, not looking to blame or shame you, to bring you out of it. Because he's not an angry God. He's a God that loves you. Do you love me? Yes, you know I love you. Okay, well, yes, then let's move on. Let's go forward. Jesus is telling Peter, don't let the failures of your past determine your future. And he would say the same to you and to me today. Yes, you are forgiven. The debt is paid. But more importantly, God desires you to be restored to the relationship with him so that you would be able to go out there, a child of God, continuing to be his disciple, the one that he loves and has entrusted with spreading the good news. Yet, the experiences and understanding of restoration seem to happen more slowly for some people because, well, we certainly remember our past. And maybe our own minds can't get over our failings. Yet, God has demonstrated his love for you in Jesus Christ, your Savior. You may have made mistakes in the past, and you certainly, tainted with sin, will make more mistakes in the future, and yet God desires to be with you and that you would follow him. Most of the time, you and I are in relationships with one another because, well, we need each other. In the church, we need one another. Kids and children need parents. Spouses need each other. But when you think of it, God really doesn't need you and me. But rather, he desires that you and I continue to be in relationship with him. God created you to be his child. He's called you to be a part of his kingdom that will last forever, to bring his glory to this world. As great as heaven will be one day, we get the opportunity to bring a glimpse of it here now to this world today. It's not always easy, and yes, we will fail, but we, with the help of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will be able to get right back up again, because God not only has canceled your debt from sin, he is not angry with you. He wants you as his child. Be filled with joy today, knowing these words of God are true for you and for me. God says, I forgive you. I'm not angry with you. I love you, and I want to work with you. I want you. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard our hearts and minds firmly in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite the congregation to please stand as you are able as we continue speaking the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, You have had compassion and mercy and shown to us that you are a God who desires to be in relationship with us through sending your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that we would continue to trust in him and to look to you at all times, knowing that you have forgiven us and restore us. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you invite us to come to you with all of our needs of both body and soul. At this time, we remember those in need for their bodily needs and also those who are in need for their spirits. We remember Rick, Glenn, Wayne, Abigail, Shirley, Teddy, Tracy, Leon, the family and friends of Herman Wargau, and the family and friends of Christopher Kohlmeier. Lord, bring to them the relief that you alone can bring through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have blessed us this day with a new day, and continue to bless us with those authorities that you have placed over us, with our family and friends, and with the fellow members of our church body. We ask that you continue to bless us so that we might live restored to one another in family, in community, in our church, and in our nation, knowing that as your beloved children, we are able to speak boldly the grace that you have shown to all through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless all who this day come to your house to worship and to receive from you forgiveness of sins and restoration through the forgiveness. Allow them to boldly go and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to any who are in need. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
At this time, our offerings are collected. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin.
So that
trusting boldly in our Heavenly Father, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
I invite you to be seated as we sing our concluding hymn, number 704.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a civic media station.
The members of Peace Lutheran Church consider it a privilege to have you share in their service of worship. We invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. right here on 98.3 FM WCQM. We invite you to tune in again next week at this time. If you wish to sponsor a broadcast in memory of a loved one, please call the church at 715-762-4541. A condensed version of the worship service may be found on the church website at peacetoyou.pctcnet.net. That's peace, the number 2, Y-O-U.pctcnet.net. You can also follow us on Facebook. If you would like to give an offering to God for his ministry, you may do so on our website or Facebook page, or mail it to Peace Lutheran Church, 598 2nd Avenue North, Park Falls, Wisconsin, 54552.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunny skies on tap for today. Afternoon highs will climb to the middle 40s. We'll have light winds. In the overnight, we'll see mostly clear to partly cloudy skies with our lows dropping to the lower and middle 20s. On Monday, mostly sunny and upper 50s. It's 24 at our studios.
From Music City, USA, this is Into the Blue, featuring the very best in bluegrass and acoustic country music. And now here's your host, recipient of the IBMA Broadcaster of the Year Award and the Bluegrass Now Fans Choice Award, Terry Hurd.
Hello and welcome to the show. Great to be back with you here as we head into the blue once again with the very best in bluegrass. Coming up in this hour, new music from Unspoken Tradition, as well as Darren Nicholson, Balsam Range, Missy Armstrong, and many, many others, all brought to you by BluegrassToday.com. And we're going to get things underway right now with a little tip of the hat by Ashby Frank to the late, great Duke of Drive, Terry Bauckham, a recut here to his classic Knee Deep in Bluegrass. This features Matt Menefee on banjo and Seth Taylor on guitar. Hang on tight.